Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, here we are. I think we're up.
We're on. All right. It's if we ever had a proper studio, you know, we would the red light come on, tell us we're recording. So
well, it does. My red light comes on, none yours.
Well, I get one, but it has like it says getting ready to record, and then it.
Well, that means.
Of course.
It's about to start.
But shouldn't it be instant in this day and age?
You're saying should it count down 3, 2, 1?
Yeah,
the red light shouldn't come on until it's actually recording.
Well, to me, when you hit the button, it should just start, right? Isn't that the way stuff is supposed to work now? Just like instantaneously, you know? So after last week's episode, we were hoping some listeners would step forward and volunteer to come on with us. And I got to say, the one listener I kind of talked to, Amy, I think she's scared to come on with us. Maybe I don't know if it's intimidating or just embarrassing to be on with. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, probably a smart person. You have, they probably have more to lose than we do. See,
we have nothing to lose.
Yeah, not that I've already lost of. It. I've already know what lost I mean? It. All. I tell you what, I started off in a great mood this morning. By what time is it here? 5:30 Central Time. I'm shot. I'm shot. You know.
You're shot. Okay.
I'm shot.
Okay. Well, how does it get shot? I mean,
you know, it started. I got a 55-gallon barrel in my backyard, and I had some boxes because they take up so much space in the blue tub at the end of the drive. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, recycling.
So I was going to burn them. And while I was burning them, while I had I walked my dogs. I got, you know, 11 acres plus minus here. And I usually, as crazy as it sounds, my dogs, they won't hardly leave my side. So if I want them to crap somewhere in the morning besides the yard, I've got to walk them down in the woods. And I got a little trail. My kids are dirt bike riders and ATVs. So they got this trail. So basically I walk around the woods and we'll let my dogs chase squirrels or armadillos or whatever. And it's really just a plan to get them out on the estate to where they take a crap somewhere besides the green grass of the yard. Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
So I threw a bunch of boxes in my burn barrel. But I didn't bring any paper or anything, so I tried to light what I thought was going to light. You know, I tore a corner of a box and lit it, and by the time I made my loop and I come back,
the fire was out. Fire was out.
So I went up to my garage. You know, we're talking 70, 50 yards, 75 tops. So I go up to my garage, and I go over to my tool cart. And I was going to grab some paper towels. I decided, well, I'll just get some old paper towels that I had already used. I've been rebuilding this four-wheeler for 10 months now, which is a whole freaking story on its own. Okay. So I grabbed some paper towels, old paper towels, and just, you know, some other stuff. And as I'm walking down there to light this, so when I walk down, I light the fire, and I think it's going to go. And as I'm walking back, I had opened my one garage door, pushed my four-wheeler out. I didn't start it up. I just pushed it out. And then there was three shoe boxes There was two shoe boxes and like a apple box that had a bunch of stuff from, dare I say his name again, dead brother. And it's all this paperwork from his drawers. So I get this box of stuff out, and it's his. I was burning, so while I had these boxes burned, I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go down there and start going through some of this and throwing it in the fire, right? Okay. So I grab a big stack of his tax, H&R Block tax, you know how you go and have, remember how you used to do like a little H&R?
Yeah. Get a folder full of your tax.
Yeah. And they would give him these little copies of everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was burning those things from 92 through 2004 today. But 92 to 98, because there was a point in there when he went to TurboTax, then he had a tax professional in there. So that's what I'm going through, right?
I listen, I'm just... I'm sorry, it's just cracking me up that's the high point of your day. If that's the high point of your day, going through your dead brother's taxes and burning them, then
well, so back up here. So let me tell you what ruined my day, right?
Yeah.
This is what ruined my day. My brother has a BMW 650i, which doesn't mean anything to anybody, okay? But it was an expensive car in 2006, which if you're into mathematics at all, that was 16 years ago, okay? And there's a thing called depreciation, which means your nice car in 2006 with 202,000 miles isn't that big a deal today. You with me?
Correct.
Especially if it's a foreign car like a BMW and you work and live in the Midwest where everybody wants an Impala, or if they got any money, a Buick, right?
Yeah.
So this 2006 BMW has been gracing my yard for a month now, my driveway. And it's caused me some hate and discontent because my teenagers want to drive it all the time. Okay.
Does it have a for sale sign in the window?
It doesn't have anything because we can't find the title to it. Because it's been in my brother's castle, as my little brother likes to call it. But the paperwork, Missouri's got a thing called TOD, which means transfer on death, and you can fill out a form, and basically you can skip probate if all you've got is a small estate. Anyway, when he died and I was driving his BMW down to my house, I called my attorney, who's a great attorney, and I say, hey, dude, my brother died. I'm on the hook for his funeral. I don't know if he's got any life insurance. I don't know how this is all going to play out. I can't find the title of this car, but it says on the thing, and he had told a crazy ex-girlfriend from years ago that he was going to give her this car if anything ever happened to him, right?
Which is crazy, because if something happens to him, how's he giving it?
So anyway, when he did the TOD form, it was in 2012. Back to mathematics again. This is really easy for people like me because that was just 10 years ago. So 10 years ago, he filled out a form with the state that says, if I die, I want this woman to have my car.
Oh, so he did do that. Okay.
Okay. But we didn't have the title. She has to have the form and the title, right? She's got to have this stuff. She's got to put these pieces together. So my lawyer basically said, hey, you know, you can force it back into probate. He gave me an avenue to get this car, to sell this car, to pay for his funeral. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Okay. But I just didn't want to turn it into being about money. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay, and then I've just come to the conclusion this afternoon. The reason why it's always about the money is because the money is I had an old car friend of mine used to say it's not about, it's about getting the deal closed. The money is just a way to measure it, right?
Okay, makes sense.
And more, I think about that today. So to make a long story even longer, and I know my people they want to laugh and not peer depression. So I, in the middle of all this, these 20 years worth of tax shit, I find the title of this car. Okay. So I have my brother's power of attorney. Anyway, to make a long story short, I had a decision-making process to do there. Do I be honest with her and tell her, here's the paperwork for your car, you can have it, or do I circumvent it? Does that make sense?
Yes.
So I decided, for whatever reason, probably because I texted her before, I texted my brother, and he didn't text me back. Of course, I didn't realize until a little bit later, because it said undeliverable, because I live down here in the woods, and I got to walk to a certain place in my driveway to get my text to send sometimes. Anyway, basically, I notified her this morning and said, hey, I found the paperwork for that car. She said, awesome, you're the best, blah, blah, blah. So then she wanted to call me. So then I talked to her for 5 or 10 minutes this morning, and she immediately, now this is a woman that a month ago, I mentioned the car at the funeral, and I said something about the car, and I said, hey, I'm taking your car. And she says, is it really my car? And I said, I don't know. That's what I always heard. I haven't seen the paperwork. So then I tell her today, hey, I found the paperwork. It's your car, right? So in this whole orb, there's one of my best, my brother's best friend from high school has been on us since the funeral day that he would buy the car, okay? And we would use that money toward the funeral, but we never had any paperwork. So today I'm honest with her. I say, I found your paperwork. Looks like you get the car. And by God, she's wanting that fucking car this afternoon. I know I said the F word, and this is a clean show, but by God, she's wanting that car.
Period. on a Sunday.
That she quick. Pow, kapow, yep. Mm-hmm.
So if you would have just dumped the whole box into the fire,
she would have never got that car.
She would have never got that car. If you wouldn't have been so particular. If
I wouldn't have been honest. And dude, it has really bugged me all day.
Is that, what does that say? What's that say that being honest bugs us?
Yes. I'm going to start rethinking some of my decisions about the world, because so I spent 40 some minutes, and I think that's why I'm wore out. I talked to her for 40 some minutes on the phone a while ago, and I briefly had a little glint of hope, because she mentioned, well, maybe, because at the funeral, she said something about, I said, that might be your car. I always heard it was your car. And she goes, well, I always heard it was too, but let's make sure everything gets taken care of. Right. That's what she says. Well, she didn't mention that. So a little bit earlier today, I thought there was a glimp of hope that she wanted to. And the most this car's worth is about $5,000, from anywhere from $3,500 to $5,000, period. So it's not really a whole lot of money in the whole scheme of money, right?
Yeah.
It just ain't. But you know what? $5,000's $5,000, right? I mean, let's be honest. $5,000's $5,000. But what I thought maybe, because I don't know if I said it last week, that the pension people called me, right? Did I say that last week?
No. This is a new twist in the saga of your brother.
Pension people called me. My dad retired from the same union my brother did. And my dad went down to the hall that first week, and union dudes will know what I'm talking about. Noticed him up that my brother had passed. One of them already knew it, and told them to call, told the business agent, the BAA they call him, that I was going to be handling. I was executor of state, and I was going to be handling everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that dude said, well, unless he didn't have it, they had to call the mothership to get figured out. And they said, well, he looks like he's going to have a death benefit of X. And since he didn't have a beneficiary, since he's never married, his mother is going to get his pension for 5 years. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's not a bad pension. I mean, it's not bad. So, like an idiot, I told my mom that at the funeral, because she's upset and she's worried about all the shit. And I said, hey, I haven't seen it yet in paper or in writing, but there's a good chance that you're going to get the death benefit and his pension for 5 years. Fast forward 2 weeks, which is about a week and a half ago, I get a voicemail from a strange woman that says, would you call so-and-so in pensions? So I was like, this is the call, right? This is the call.
Amen. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I mean? We're going to see how this plays out. So I called so-and-so in the pension fund, and she said, can you tell me who X is? She said, was your brother married to this woman? And I said, no, he was never married. She goes, he wasn't? I said, no, he was never. I said, he's had a string of crazy women, and that was one of them. And she said, well, who is this to him? And I said, well, that was the girlfriend that booked in the first one you asked me. You know? So, you know, because it was like on again, off again kind of deal, right?
Yes.
And the short version is this. One of them gets the death benefit. The other gets the retirement. And we don't, and my poor elderly mother don't get anything.
No, wait a second.
So let me tell you. So his estate's going, death benefits going to one crazy ass girlfriend. Retirement's going to another girlfriend that's not so crazy, but she's still, you know, I called him the land of broken toys, right? He collected broken women like.
And like, the car's going to another one.
And the car's going to a third one.
Oh, my God. And none of them are going to help pay for the funeral.
None of them. The one of them, I actually, the one of them had been talking to me, and she wanted his iPhone. And she wrote me this glowing text message on how she wanted that phone because it was the last thing he touched and blah, 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 blah. And I said, as far as I'm concerned, you can have it. And she teased me, oh, no, I'll pay you far fair market value for it. And she gives me on this spiel, right?
Okay.
I like, you know, I give a fuck about a phone, dude. I'd rather have my brother back. And if I can't have my brother back, I'd rather not have any of this crap, right?
Yeah.
So I do have about six of his hard hats in my office here, which is a whole other story. But so I casually texted her back and said, because I told the pension woman, I said, you want me to have them call you? I said, I got their numbers. I said, I guess I'm not the beneficiary. And she said, well, I can't discuss any of this with you because you're not on the paperwork. And I said, well, you called me. She said, well, we don't have the numbers we had for these people aren't working. And I said, well, that's because some of the stuff's 20 years old. You know what I mean?
I can't. I called you, but I can't talk to you about
it. So, yes. So I tell this gal that wanted the phone, that was begging for the phone, fair market value, that, hey, would you call so-and-so at pensions? It looks like you're the beneficiary, one of his beneficiaries. I've never, that's been, what, it'll be 14 days. It was either 14 days Friday or it'll be 14 days tomorrow. I could probably go through my text messages. Hold on, I'll tell you. Because, you know, I want to be right. Like some of those fancy talk show hosts. I'm going to be right. Let's see what day it was. Hold on, don't The 25th. When was the 25th? How many days ago was that?
3, 9 days.
Okay, so that was only 9 days. So that was me embezzling story when I said 14. So 9 days ago.
And so you haven't heard a single thing back from her about the phone because she's on the bigger and better.
Yep. Nope.
So
I almost said, since you're getting a pension, you can afford to pay fair market for the phone. But I thought that might be a little.
But who's paying for the funeral? That's what I want.
Yours truly. I am.
I can't believe none of them.
The audience, if they want to give, huh? The you know, we want to turn that into one of these. Yeah.
So
there you go. Hey, huh?
So how do you suppose they all feel about another woman, two other women getting part of what they all probably think should be theirs?
That's probably why they don't care. Who's burying him?
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
I mean, what else would it be? We have
that is
funeral, we have your funeral. We have one of the fans is a funeral person, right?
So yeah, funeral, yeah.
Yeah. He's probably going to reply back to you that says, "Dude, I've seen a dozen of them like that."
Right? I hope he doesn't. Oh my gosh.
You hope he does or doesn't?
I hope he doesn't. I don't want to think that it's this crazy out there. Holy.
It's totally, you know what's funny is, this is what's crazy. Not really crazy, but my funeral guy, he tells my brother, because my brother tells me that he just couldn't believe how together we were.
You mean like you guys weren't upset, but or that you guys knew?
Yeah, how we knew kind of what we wanted, you know, blah, 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 blah. So
Well, I guess, you know, I don't know. That's
so I was thinking, if this is together, how screwed up are most people?
I don't think a lot of people are super prepared for this, you know. Obviously,
something they know is going to happen from the time they're born.
Yeah, I don't think most people are, because I think if you prepare for it, isn't that kind of accepting that it's going to happen? And most people don't.
Well, I think they did it one time, right?
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, you know, you've said your brother just kind of accepted the fact that this was going to happen, and
yeah, but he didn't even, and he was did it half-ass.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He wasn't all that prepared, except that he screwed
I spent some other time, and I did another funeral this week where these dudes, you know, a 95-year-old, 97-year-old, old-school Catholic dude, and they seem to think when you're dealing with people in their 90s, they knew that were raised in the 40s and the 50s, they knew they were going to die, and they acted accordingly.
Yeah, I gotcha. I gotcha. I mean, my grandparents, they all had their funeral plots bought and seven for people in the family, whoever wanted them. And I really haven't even put any thought into mine. You know, I don't know that anybody's even going to want my body.
Well, I don't know if it's going to be worth having as much mail you're carrying. You know,
right? That's true. And I did want to say, as a mailman, I appreciate the fact that you're taking your dogs out of the front yard and into the side backyard to go to the bathroom.
Well, I don't. Speaking of my dogs, you didn't hear them? They're in here fighting over something.
No, I can't hear them.
Yeah. Well, you know, and second of all, my mail gets dropped off at the top of the hill by a contract guy that he drives the Jeep or something. So it's not even.
The rule kid, yeah,
the rule kid. Yeah, you know what I mean. But, yeah, I mean, I'm sure you've seen some stuff I got out there. And right?
Listen, I just put my head down and just keep walking. I don't want to reflect on that. I'm so close to the end, you know. And we, you know, and I don't want to beat her down because so we got this. The woman in her office who's the oldest carrier. I mean, she's 60, 61, but she only started a couple months before I did. So she's only got 22, 23 years in. And she just had knee surgery. And she's been off for, I don't know, 2-3 months. Come back. They cleared her to work. But she can only walk.
Knee surgery.
She had her knee done. Okay, but it wasn't anything major. It just went in there and snipped the meniscus and stuff. But they cleared her to come back to work, but only to come back and walk for an hour. So now you got all these guys who have driving, which, listen, that's what a lot of mailmen, you get to the point where you'd rather drive rather than walk.
Right.
So, yep. So, and all of us guys that have a bunch of driving on our routes, it's like having gold. You know, it's something you want to hold on to. You don't want to. And they have to give up some of their driving. Now, I don't, because I have seniority, but to give to her so she can get her day in. And we're like, why don't you just retire? And she goes, well, I like working. And I'm thinking,
well, you're penalizing all these people, right?
Yeah. But she's also the lady who the mayor 6-7 years ago had to, without naming her, basically shame her in the newspaper to please quit feeding the stray cats, because she's a cat woman. Okay. She's one of those bona fide, I've always heard about them, people who have 16 cats in her house, but she's not just about the cats in her house. On her mail route at the beginning of every street, she will set out a cup of water and a cup of cat food that any cats in the neighborhood, stray or otherwise, can come and eat while she walks down the street and comes back to her mail truck and She does that.
She puts it by the mail truck, and they she's like the ice cream, like the ding ding truck, but for kitty cats.
Yeah, they all know it. And she'll put, and the first thing she does when she gets in the parking lot at the post office in the morning is put some food and water out by her car for the stray cats that are around the post office. Then on her route, I mean, she has a bag of dog or cat food in the back of her mail truck. And then on her route, she feeds and waters the cats on every loop that she does. So she'll come to a loop. Rather than getting her mail ready and getting out and delivering the mail, she'll put a thing of cat food out and a thing of water out. And she has went so far as then to go back after her route is over, like when she's done for the day. And if she sees a cat that is looks sick or whatever, she'll go and take a cat. Doesn't care if it's from the house or the people that own it or if it's a stray. And she'll take it and have it checked, take it to the vet, have it checked over. And I think she has had cats spayed and neutered. And to the point where the owners are like, what are you doing? Like, they don't even know she's taken the cat. And she'll take it and have something done to it or have it checked up by the vet and bring it back. And then the people are like, dude, what are you doing? We didn't ask for you to do that. So yes, so there's a young, able-bodied, sane-minded young people at the post office waiting for a full-time route that she will not give up her route and retire, even though she's of age, because she doesn't want to not be able to go out there and see her cats every day. So there you go.
Well, I guess there's some truth to Crazy Cat Woman, right?
That's, look, there's nothing better than to tie it into being a crazy male woman. And she always says if she wins the lottery, she's going to open up a cat shelter that's called No Dogs Allowed.
So would that be a cat house then?
A cat house. Hey, you laugh. It was maybe 3 or 4 summers ago. The guy who does deliver her mail gets this huge box. Okay. To take and deliver to her house. And he's like, what is this? And she goes, oh, it's my cat house. I'm like, what are you talking, cat house? $3,500 she paid for this shelter for cats in her backyard. Like it was like a playhouse for cats to come and hang out and just, you know, lounge around in and get out of the weather. Yeah. $3,500. My first 3 cars that I had growing up collectively didn't cost $3,500. And she spent that much on a cat house.
The car I drive every day. You know what? I'm debating on whether I'm going to put $2,500 transmission in my $850 Chevy pickup. So I would still be under the $3,500.
In fact, we could take your brother's BMW and trade it even up for this cat house and probably feel like you got a good deal, except that it's a cat house. So there you go. I'm not sure. Listen, the more I talk about this out loud, the more sense the lady cutting the guy's head off and putting it in a bucket for his mom to find makes. I just got to be honest with you.
It makes perfect sense, yeah. Because some people need their head cut off. You know what I mean? And I mean, the problem is the wrong people are usually get the whack, right?
But, I would say, I would love to hear from some of our listeners their craziest, and like, if they know somebody that is at another level of crazy when it comes to dogs or cats and stuff like that. Fish, birds, whatever. You know, that just amazes me that people take better care of, not that you shouldn't take care of animals, but they take as good a care of themselves as they do of animals. Like, shouldn't you start there? Like, if you're an animal, aren't you a little suspect if the person taking care of you has fleas? You know,
I'm not saying she has fleas. Is it a trap, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Wild animals, is this a trap?
Yeah, exactly. But these cats, I mean...
I think it's because they've been domesticated for thousands of years now, right?
Yeah. Are we talking about this woman, or are we talking about the animals?
Women are never domesticated. They still have that feral instinct inside of their brain, ready to pounce. I mean, which is why that woman cut that dude's head off, right? Because deep down,
exactly.
You know, I don't want to say they're all Cleopatra or who one of them other ones. You know, who's not Cleopatra? Who's the one that you turned into stone?
Medusa.
Yeah, you know, some of them I think have a tendency, and I think it's just natural for that, right? That's why everybody's afraid of the mama bear. That, you know what I mean? They have an internal instinct that says we're going to kill everybody that's not my offspring. And sometimes they kill the offspring too, obviously. Don't even get me on that. I mean, I was about to slide off in the ditch. Here I am driving along 29 minutes in, and we're about to hit the ditch.
Slide off into the ditch. So to keep it back on the road, I did come across a question that a listener sent in and wanted to know about your highway patrol days.
Yep, what about them?
And wanted to know what it was like when you're driving out there on the highway and you got 30 cars deep behind you, like you're the lead car at Talladega.
I never let them stack up like that, because when you let them stack up like that, you are impeding traffic. Now, I know that they go, well, I'm running the speed limit, or I'm running by 5 minutes. Usually they do about 5 or 10 lower than the speed limit because they want to see. Now you can't do it anymore, but back in my day, you would cut through the median. Now they have wires everywhere. They have them wires in Ohio, separate highways everywhere. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, back in the old days, you'd run kind of a little slow because you wanted to cut through the grass to go catch somebody, right?
Yeah.
So you were slowing down because you had to bleed that speed off before you hit the median anyway. So there's no sense in running 70 if you got to get down to 25 to go across a ditch. The other part is they want to see the traffic pass them, so they see what you look like. And then when you don't pass them, then they think you're paranoid. But the problem is, you know, like just like farm implements and school buses and stuff like that, if you have multiple cars behind you, the traffic manual says you're supposed to pull over and let them by. So if John Q. Citizen's expected to pull over and let them by, why wouldn't the cops? But they don't do it. They let those people stack up 8, 10, 12, 15, 30, you know, three miles long. And then they finally go up that ramp maybe, or rarely do they pull over. So I wasn't that dude. Okay. I lived by, well, not really lived by, you know, we had a thing when people would get complained on, right? So if you're running, you got someplace to go, and maybe it's not a full-blown emergency, but there's people on the highway waiting for you to get there, so you would drive faster than the speed limit. And those people would call the desk, the troop desk, and say, I was just behind, like 403 was my number. I was just behind this car 403, and it was going 90 miles an hour and didn't have his red lights and siren on. He was just going somewhere. So I was trained to either drive the posted speed limit or so fast they can't read your license plate when you go by them. One or the other.
Drive so fast.
Yep. So, the only time I even maybe would come close to that, backing up traffic, and I didn't really back it up. When I first come on, my sergeant had a early 90s Crown Vic that the sergeant before him had, and she had gotten in an accident. And it was the other person's fault, and that car sat behind the troop at the garage for a month or six, couple months while they were waiting to hash it out with the insurance, for the insurance to pay for it, not the state. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then when they finally got it to the body shop and they got it fixed, it was a completely unmarked, kind of a peach tan looking Crown Victoria. But most of the sergeants here, they have the option to drive an unmarked car if they want, and most of them always take it. So this was an unmarked, like peach colored Crown Vic, but when they fixed the front end, they put mercury cornering lights and not turn signals in it, because mercuries have a different heads. They have what's called a turning light. Isn't that what it's called? What's it called? Anyway, when you looked at it, you knew what turn signal. The turn signal in a mercury is a little different. I think it's called a turning light, curbing light. So when you turn it on, when you turn a left blinker on the Mercury at that time, not only would it blink, but then part of the light would be would be a, like a solid white light. A little light would shine down so you could see the curb. It was for old people to park and shit, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, he hated that car, but because it would park so long, the sergeant he got it from did a lot of administrative stuff and had been promoted lieutenant, and he'd done a bunch of, he could never get the miles high enough to get a new car. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So when I got on my own, he would want me to take that car and go out on the, you know, we call it the big road. You know, you go out on the four lane, or basically he told me one time, you're either going to get the miles up or you're a new guy. Most guys, if they're going to wreck, they wreck into me. You're either going to total that car or get the miles up high enough where you can get me one. And what he liked to do is, since it was unmarked, you would go out on the interstate or the four lane, and you'd get behind, you know, these 18 wheelers where one of them's trying to pass and he doesn't got enough horsepower, and they stack all these cars up behind them for miles. You don't know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He would be in a pack of cars, and he would reach down and hit that trip meter of his, and he'd wait for about 3 miles. It'd take about three, and at the 3 mile mark, he'd start turning on his wigwags and getting people out of the way. So by the time he got these trucks stopped, it was usually the left lane truck. It'd usually 6 to 9, 10 miles, right? And you'd get this trucker back there, and he'd say, I was just passing. Dude, you've been in the left lane for 10 miles. No, I just pulled out. And they couldn't see you because the cars were completely unmarked. That's the only thing I did. I was on the receiving end of a big stack of cars many a time, but it was just to poach the truckers. And I didn't rail on the truckers. I didn't ride the truckers a lot of I pulled a lot of them over, but I didn't ride a lot of them tickets. Because I got more out of just tricking them. Does that make sense? Like, and I think
that was the real satisfaction.
Yes, like when I was riding with my FTO, and all our cars had a CB in them at that time, because people didn't have cell phones really, so they had CBs, and theoretically you're supposed to channel 9 or one, I don't remember what it was. One of them was like the emergency channel, and you're supposed to drive around with it so people could say whatever they could say, I need help. But so I'm with my FTO one day, and I said, you don't ever turn your CB on? He goes, oh, God, I hate listening to those truck drivers. I ain't going to do, you know. And I said, never. And he goes, no, would you talk to them truckers or something like that? And it was dark. We were in up north of a town called Evolves, right north of Kingdom City. So your people can get on the map, Google up Kingdom City, Missouri, and they'll see where we're at. And we had a dark green, what they call California package. So it had stickers on the doors and the fenders that said state trooper and stuff, but it didn't have a light bar. And I said, here, watch this. And I picked up that CB and I turned it over to channel 19. And I said, breaker 19, come back. And this guy goes, go ahead, I got you, breaker. I'm northbound from Kingdom City. And I said, well, I'm southbound from Vandalia. He goes, you got a smoky report? And I said, well, I'm almost to Evolves and haven't seen nothing. And he goes, 10-4, good buddy. I just come off from the eastbound, blah, blah, blah. And we sat there down in that grass and sat there. And about 2 minutes later, he come flying by. And I jumped out on the grass. And of course, my FTO was just laughing. He can't believe I just did. I said, you never done anything like that. He goes, I don't talk on the CB. I said, well, dude, come on. Welcome to the world. And I go to pull out, and this guy's yelling back on the 19. Breaker, breaker, I don't know what you're seeing. There's a plain green, one in a plain green wrapper down here, you know. Just, he's turning around behind me. You got me? And, of course, I never answered, you know what I mean? And I turn on my red lights, and before I get out of the car, I shut it off. I bring this old guy back. Now, my FTO's in the back, and he just can't hardly keep a straight face. We get this old boy sitting up there. He's getting his cab card and CDL, medical, all this truck driver stuff. And you know, he was going 10 or 11 over. I don't remember, because it's a 65 road, so he was going 75, 76, whatever it was. But now he just come off, and I didn't like writing tickets there because we're just north of the interstate. So these people have been driving maybe 100 miles at 70 miles an hour. And as soon as they make a left, now they're down to 65. And if they drive 7 miles, then it goes down to 60. So it was kind of a purgatory that I worked with some dudes that just preyed on drivers that do that thing, but I didn't. Sorry, I'm getting texts here from people were dead relatives' cars. Anyway, this dude, as he's talking, I'm talking to him. Now I'm doing what's called truck report, you know, CVET guys. Back in them days, we used to, I don't remember what it was called, 150, or we used to have to do two trucks a month, 18-wheeler trucks a month. Anyway, as I'm doing this truck check paperwork, he looks down and he sees that CB and he goes, "You guys got CBs in your car?" And I said, "Yeah, but I don't turn it on." He goes, "You sure?" And I said, "Man, I got a plain green wrapper. I don't need no CB."
Oh man. Every trucker that listens to us is just shaking their head right now.
I doubt it. I mean, who knows? They can't even get truck drivers anymore, but Maybe next week I'll devote it. You know what? I'm going to reach out. We haven't had as many people want to be on the show, right?
Yeah.
We've had some people contact us and tell us they love the show and they would love to do it, but they're scared to do it, right? I'm going to reach out to somebody that I've never talked to in real life, right?
Yeah. Just
social, what do they call it? IRL? Isn't that what the people call it? IRL? In real life? No, oh, I think that's life. What they call it. Yeah,
okay,
so anyway,
that's the
acronym.
I've got a
dude that I'm going to reach out to and give him the opportunity to come on the show and see. And he, I know he's got a class A CDL because he is a truck driver by trade. So
I'd love to have a truck driver on here and hear some truck driving stories. Gotta be some great ones.
Oh, it'd be endless, right? Be endless.
It'd have to be. Mm-hmm. Hopefully everybody made it through the Catwoman, to the semi, to the I don't even know what we all talked about, but I hope everybody comes back next week and we got some truck driving stories.
That's right. Okay, well, good enough. Talk to y'all next week.
All right.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.